Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com.
Hello, it's my pleasure to introduce my guest, Marti Barletta, a very smart woman who writes and speaks about marketing to very smart women. Marti is the author of the groundbreaking book, Marketing to Women, and her latest book, Primetime Women, shows how marketers can win the hearts, minds, and businesses of boomer big spenders. Now, a mutual colleague introduced me to Marti a few years ago, and I've been a faithful follower of her ever since because I learned so much from her. So welcome, Marti.
Well, thank you. And likewise, Denise, I learned so much from you as well.
Oh, I appreciate you saying that.
Absolutely.
Well, Marti, I want to learn about your book. It's called Primetime Women, Woman. So tell me, what is a primetime woman?
A primetime woman, actually, it is a term that I coined to talk about women in their 50s and 60s. And the reason that I coined that term is because when I wrote my first book, Marketing to Women, it was really focused on things that that made female gender culture, as I call it, different from male gender culture, and then drawing implications for strategy and marketing tactics that would be more effective in motivating and persuading women to buy than conventional tactics, which, as it turns out, are all more oriented towards men. Which isn't surprising when you think about it, because all of the sort of rules of marketing strategy, PR, website, all of that stuff, they were all developed mostly by men. You know, the David Ogilvies and Bill Birnbachs of the world developed some of those communication principles and made a ton of sense to them. But now that we know more about the differences between men and women, one really needs to adapt and change those principles of marketing, because frankly, women buy 80% at least of everything. So in the consumer world, women spend 80 to 85% of every consumer dollar, and in the B2B world, they spend 50% about of every dollar. And that means that if you want your every, you know, to get more bang from your marketing and sales bucks, you want to be focusing on the people who are actually doing the buying, and that means focusing on women. Within that, people were saying, wow, you know, at 51% of the population, that's a pretty big target to try and hit effectively. So who should we focus on within that? And I'm sure people were expecting me to say young women, because marketers have some very outdated notions about the way people buy. And there is this thing left over from the 50s, in my opinion, that says if you get them young, they're yours for life. And I think that might have been true when there were two or three brands of detergent or, you know, five or six models of automobile or something. But these days, that is definitely not true. What is much more the case is that women in their 50s and 60s are the silver bullseye of marketing targets. And the reason is that, you know, with all the strategy work you do, Denise, you know that very often marketers feel themselves torn between, should I target the largest audience or should I target the richest audience that can best afford more products and services, or should I target the fastest growing audience? And the thing about primetime women is that they are the marketing trifecta. They are the largest segment of women. They are the highest spending segment of women by far. And they are the fastest growing segment of women. So primetime women are women in their 50s and 60s who are sort of post-family. They are far from retired. In fact, they are at the peak of their careers. They are shifting their buying focus from making all their buying and brand decisions based on what would be best for the family as a whole. Now that their kids are out on their own and making their own independent decisions, number one, she's buying the things that she wants for herself. She's returning to her own interests, her own passions. She also is very influential still in influencing the purchases of the kids. So she's kind of the guru of more than one household now, not only her own, but her kids very often consult her for, you know, what's the best baby brand or what's the best, you know, how do I go about buying a house kind of thing. And they spend, marketers make a huge mistake when they assume that people don't have any money, which is they actually spend on a per capita basis 2.5 times what younger households spend. And marketers are assuming that, oh, the other mistake they make is assuming that, well, there's no point in targeting older midlife. It's really the midlife market. There's no point in targeting them because they're just going to buy the same things that they've always bought. And on the contrary, they're changing their lifestyles very, very much from what they were when they were family-focused, and they are very open and interested in new products, services, spending, and their spending patterns reflect that. So right. Primetime women, post-family, high spending, radically, radically different from any generation of women in history, which is what the boomer women are. People don't realize that, Denise. The boomer women are the first generation of women to get educated at about the same numbers as their brothers, to go into the workforce at about the same percentages as the men, to have their control over their how many and when they have kids, to have property rights. We forget some of the things that were common practice in the 70s and 80s, even as recently as the 70s and 80s, have now been eliminated, thank heavens. And this generation of women, anybody who assumes that it's business as usual with this generation of midlife women is leaving piles and piles of cash on the table.
Right, right. Well, and I think that them having gone through those experiences makes them very unique as well, like to have experienced so much change and transformation in their lifetime probably contributes to the uniqueness of the market as well.
It does. It does. And you're right. I mean, the rate of change in the world these days, I think the generation prior to boomers were the first to see that incredibly rapid rate of change. I mean, I think about the generation before us who saw things go from horse-drawn carriages and gas lights to putting men on the moon. And boomers are the generation of their kids after that, and things are just getting ever faster. So you're right. We've all been greatly affected by the change of our experiences.
Right. Now, speaking of, the current situation, I guess I'm curious to hear how the current economic situation we've been in for the last couple of years, having been in a recession and then a recovery, sort of. How is that affecting the mindset and the buying decisions of a primetime woman?
Well, it's interesting. Obviously, it's affected all consumers' mindsets and buying decisions. But a lot of people, the ones who made the mistake of assuming that primetime people and women had less money than younger people, make the same mistake, compound that mistake when they think, oh, the recession has really made them unable to spend at all. And in fact, the prime time, surprisingly, the midlife market has been less affected by the recession than other segments of the market. They, you probably read, Denise, that the recession hit men a great deal harder than it hit women. About 80% of the jobs lost, sadly, were jobs that were in industries where men were the primary portion of the labor force. So women have been somewhat insulated, and then primetime women in particular, when you look at the workforce of women 50-plus, they have been less hard hit than almost any other sector. Of course, it varies by industry, but on a demographic basis, they have been less hard hit than any other sector. So in addition, the fact of their viewpoint, their outlook, is that they don't buy into, and they never have, even before the recession, bought into the mindset of, you know, I can't wait to retire. They do look forward to changing the content of what they're working on to something that is more personally satisfying and gives them more of a sense of contribution, but they do not, they're not retired. As I said, they tend to be the senior vice presidents, the tenured teachers, the flight attendants with seniority, et cetera. So they are at the peak of their earning power, and they have been more insulated than other sectors, other segments, I should say, from some of the stresses that have affected us all during this recession.
Right. And, you know, one thing you said I think is interesting about, you know, perhaps looking to transition into something that is more personally meaningful, you know, that I think that if we were talking about this segment retiring, that would mean that their spending levels would go down and their spending might change. But it seems like if they're transitioning to something new, that's not necessarily the case. They actually might be spending more, or, you know, to point, spending differently. But they're still very much a consuming market out there. They're still, their purchasing power or their spending levels are still very strong.
Oh, they absolutely are. I mean, they, as I said, on a per capita basis, they spend 2.5 times what younger people spend, and younger adults spend. And the thing that people overlook a lot is that, you know, in terms of cars, is an easy example. They are buying new cars, but they're not buying minivans. It's amazing to me that the automotive industry really didn't see this coming. And anybody who thought that all this vast population bulge that was in the motherhood mode for 30 years was going to continue to buy minivans when they didn't have to schlep soccer teams around anymore, I mean, anybody could see that coming a mile away, that that wasn't going to happen, right? And so, you know, the segment is they're but they're still buying new cars, and they can afford, you know, cars that are more comfortable or luxurious or stylish or cute. I mean, I would predict that we will continue to see growth in the Mini segment, the Volkswagens, the Austin Minis, we'll see growth in the sports car, and we'll see growth in the luxury sedan sides of the market because of this shift from, oh, thank heavens I don't have to drive a minivan anymore. Not that there's not nice minivans, there's great minivans, but if you don't need that, that's not what you're going to buy for your personal transportation probably. So they are buying more automotive, they are spending a lot more on travel. That's still people in midlife shift their attention somewhat from buying products, except for things, you know, there's the obvious exceptions like the automotive that I told you about, to buying experiences. And so adventure travel is one of the growth areas of the travel industry in terms of what they call soft adventure travel, which is more comfortable, you know, not quite camping on the hard, cold ground, but being out there in the wilderness. They buy more wine. They buy more fitness equipment. You know, they buy 70% more fitness equipment than younger adults do, because instead of having the gym membership, they want to bring their fitness activities in the home. So they buy more apparel than younger women do. So, you know, they are definitely continuing to spend, and they have all, you know, they're going to continue to spend at higher levels than younger households because they have more discretionary spending power. They don't have to put as much into kids' clothes and the needs of kids as they had to when they were younger.
Right. Well, so then that leads me to my last question, which is about if there are any examples of companies that are doing a particularly good job of targeting primetime women, or the flip side, any companies that are doing a particularly poor job of really connecting with these women. Any one come to mind at all?
Well, I mean, the examples of people who are doing a good job connecting with the so-called boomer market or the midlife market in general are few and far between, which is remarkable considering all the money there is in that market. But, you know, you just this year seeing companies like Nielsen, quote, discover the boomer market, which is another thing that it was not really hard to see coming. It's been there for, you know, 60 years, kind of by definition. And everybody was all excited about the boomer market when they were in the family mode and recognized that, you know, with all these kids to take care of and feed, that they were spending a lot. And it's sort of like, okay, wait, let's wait until they're in their peak spending years and then we'll ignore them, which is mind-blowing to people like you and me who are like, seems like that would be a really good opportunity. That'd be a really good time to focus on the boomer market. But it's been an eye-opener for me, Denise, how many marketers still, I see them as such outdated viewpoints. And paradoxically, I think that the other side of not paying attention to boomers is that so many corporate marketers are often younger than midlife, and I think that there's a tendency for people to feel like, they tend to understand the spending patterns of people like themselves, but not understand what's going on with people in a life stage that they haven't yet experienced, and so they make some assumptions which are based on some very outdated information or outdated profiles or something. So I attribute it paradoxically to two things. I mean, on the one hand, it blows my mind that somebody like Nielsen could a year ago come out with a report that talks about boomers. Wow, they're spending money. You know, this is a great market. And I'm glad that they've discovered boomers, but I don't understand why it's such a big surprise, you know. And at the same time, if that's the case, if the people who are creating the information, Denise, I know in your work you've probably seen many a media plan that didn't go above 49 years old. The very conventional segments, 25 to 49, maybe 25 to 54. I've never in my whole marketing career, which has been, you know, extensive, seen a media plan that went above 54. And that's the very bottom of the boomer group now. You know, it's the very bottom of the midlife market. And so I attribute part of it. You know, Nielsen doesn't measure it. They don't measure it. When they report ratings for media vehicles, when they report who reads what, who goes to what websites, who watches what TV, who's downloading what video, I never see anything over 54. So how are marketers supposed to be aware of it? It's perhaps not surprising that marketers are so unaware of it, because the marketing community or the reporting community has just totally not updated their information.
Right, right. Well, let's hope that this interview and your book are part of the wake-up call that that is issued to marketers and the marketing community to actually recognize the huge potential of this market. So, Marty, thank you so much for sharing with us today. For my listeners, if you want to learn more about Marty, her book, or marketing to women in general, I encourage you to check out her website, which is www.trendsight.com. So that's TRENDSIGHT.com. And again, Marty, thank you so much. This has been great. And I do hope that we see more brands and more marketers recognizing the market potential of this segment. So thanks so much.
My pleasure. Always a delight to talk with you, Denise.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care and thanks again.